Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Woe when all speak well of you. So, if the church is the church, we will not be well spoken of. Now, that's not to say that we should be doing things that people say about us that are evil. But if we're really going to be like Christ was, is, then it's not always going to be popular to be a believer. Amen? And that's what you have for the most part. But sometimes the church wants to be accepted so badly, wants to embrace people so badly that we compromise why we were created in the first place. And if the church does that, then the effect of the church goes away. If the church is not the church, the world has no hope. Now, I know that sounds arrogant. But if the church is not the church, the world has no hope. There is no second plan for salvation. God has done what he's going to do, and the next time you see him, he's not going to be riding a donkey. He's going to light up every portion of the sky, and he's going to come back to set up his kingdom. So he does not have a second plan. That's why sometimes I watch some of these Christian movies that show Jesus walking around again. Not going to happen. Not coming back to teach you the way. He's coming back to judge. And so the reality is the church has to be the church for the world to see Jesus. I remember I was listening to this story one time. It was a pastor telling the story of Jesus was talking to the angels, and they asked him, "Jesus, do you think the people got it?" He says, "Not all of them, but some will." He said, "Well, do you think they're going to be obedient to what you've told them?" He says, "Not all of them will, but some will." He says, "Well, what are you going to do about it?" He says, "I've already done it. They just have to get it." And that's really the way it is. He's not going to do any, he's not going to come down here and die on the cross all over again. He's done his work. Now the church has to take up the mantle of our work by his Spirit and do what we're supposed to do. But it's not always going to be popular. When you look at all the prophets, and Jeremiah in particular, how many have read the book of Jeremiah? At least once. Jeremiah is an interesting book because Jeremiah, first of all, he's a young man. You know, we always get the, "Before I called you, before I knew you, when your mother's womb, I called you." And then he said, "Let them despise your youth." So he was, some say he was about 17, 16, 18 in that range when he first became a prophet. Now he did come from the Levitical family, so he was a priest in his calling before he became a prophet. But as soon as he started telling the nation of Judah, because this was not the northern kingdom had already been wiped out, he started telling the nation of Judah that Babylon was coming to destroy them. That's not exactly the most popular message. They call him a traitor. They call him a betrayer. You're making our soldiers not want to fight. He told them literally, "Put your weapons down and go surrender. Because those that surrender are going to live. But if you stay in here and fight, you're all going to die." And the king and everybody put this guy in jail because he's messing up our whole plan. That's what kind of things the church has to do sometimes. stand against the tide at the risk of his own life. He got put in a, they say they dropped him in an old well. There was no water, but it was just mud. And they left him in there. And then one guy went to the king. It was actually, that it matters, but it was an Ethiopian man. Went to the king and said, King, they're doing Jeremiah wrong. He's going to die in that pit. We need to get him out. And so the king said, go get him out. So even when he was under persecution, God still looked out for him. And guess what? It all happened just like he said. And the real thing he said, this one prophet, so to speak, told the people, he put on these horns and he says, in 2 years, God is going to bring, no, he said, I don't know about the horns. That may have been another story. But he said, in 2 years, God is going to bring back all the things the Babylonians took. And Jeremiah looked at him and said, yep, if that is good, that happens, praise God. But then God spoke to him and said, you're, tell him he's lying, and in a year, he's going to die. I mean, could you imagine having to go tell somebody that? Hey, God just told me that you're lying, and if you don't change your ways, you're going to die. And the Bible said he died at the end of that next year because he didn't change. He was trying to fix the tide when the tide actually had been sent by God. So sometimes the church has to do things that are not popular. Amen? We have to take stands that are not politically correct, because the scripture doesn't concern itself with political correctness. It concerns itself with correctness. We don't go with whatever the tide is flowing in. We go with the Spirit of the Lord and what he is saying. And sometimes that is not an easy thing. Now, the church, like we said, statistically, Christians outnumber all religious groups in the world. Statistically. But I would venture to say that those are some people that, as some people used to say, that think they're a car, and because they park in a garage, they're a human, and because they stand in a garage, they think they're a car. Meaning that people that just go to church haven't actually accepted Christ, have identified themselves as Christians. Now, I don't know that, but I would venture to guess that that might be the case, because if there's 2 billion Christians in the world, you would think we'd have a greater impact. That means we're one-third of the population of the whole earth. And but because we're fighting for an identity, sometimes we don't stand for the things that we ought to stand for. Amen? And it's not that, you know, we love martyrdom. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't love martyrdom. I don't want to be a martyr. Amen? How many want to be a martyr? It says, Lord, we've been praying for years. Lord, let me be a martyr. Lord, let them cut my head off. No, I don't know about you. I don't even like paper cuts. I used to cringe when I used to watch people get stabbed. I was like, ooh, that must hurt. I can't. I mean, you know, you get a paper cut and it's boining. And it's like, just imagine if a knife goes in here. It's like, oh, Lord, help me. Oh. You know, I don't want that. I do not want to experience that, but I'm willing to if that's what it takes. Amen? That's a hard line to take, but that's what we have to be willing to do. So last week we talked about a couple of the things that the church, why the church and what the church is supposed to do, and we talked about the church should be a place where of repentance and renewal. Amen? Repentance meaning what? What did we say repentance means? Turn around. If you're going this way, turn around and go that way. That's repentance. Turn from your own ways and go God's direction. And renewal, what's renewal? What does it mean to renew something? When you renew your subscription, what does it mean?
Refresh it.
You refresh it. It starts all over again, right? Every year, your Costco, your Sam's Club, it starts. You pay the renewal fee, and it starts all over again. That's what God has done. He's given us a renewal. We get to start all over again. No matter what happened yesterday, we start all over again. And that's the beauty. This is the great thing about the gospel. You get a fresh start. But we talked about how that the enemy tries to sidetrack that renewal. How he impedes our renewal. How he does not want us to even understand that we are renewed. That's the trick of the enemy. He wants you to always think that you're going to be what you were and you'll never change. And that's what he tries to play on our emotions. That's how he plays on us. Amen? And then we said that in addition to renewal, the church is a place where people walk in freedom. After you're renewed, then you're free. See, when you're in sin, you can't choose not to sin. Now, you might choose not to do murder, robbery, mayhem, all that, but you can't choose not to sin. Are you guys with me here? As an unreborn, I'll put it in those terms, person, your nature is to sin. So when the pressure is put upon you, you fall back into what you know to do. Huh? You know those people? It used to be us. The pressure's put on, you lie. The pressure's put on, you cheat. The pressure's put on, you steal. The pressure's put on. Now, you don't steal because, you know, I didn't really steal. I borrowed because I planned to pay it back. Well, if you didn't get permission, that's still called stealing. If you didn't ask somebody, hey, can I borrow this? I'll pay it back. And they didn't say yes. Anything beyond a yes is stealing, right? I mean, I used to steal from my dad, you know. You know, I'm sure every parent had like a coin spot. Remember, all your parents have? My dad used to put his coins in the bathroom. It was the toothbrush holder, had a little thing. So probably when he went in the bathroom, he dropped his money in there. So, I think I'm being smart. I said, because I'm not going to take a lot, just a couple, you know, just to drop a couple in my pocket. Because back then, you could buy a lot for 50 cents. I used to remember in the summertime, man, I used to buy a pound and a half of cherries for like 50 cents. And man, I ate them all. I mean, did not share it with anybody. That's what I really realized. I love cherries. Oh, man, do I love cherries. And then the next day, I do the same thing. But I stole from my own dad who would give me anything I asked for. And I was like, and I realized that was wrong. But you see what I'm saying? When the pressure's on, you steal. But when you're born again, everybody says when you're born again, and the pressure's on, you can actually not sin. Because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to now take over. The temptation is to do the same thing. But now you have the power to resist it. And that does not mean you won't do it sometimes. It's the hope is that you won't do it. Amen? But the reality is that we do it. Amen? But, he says, but if anybody sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he will forgive you of all your sin. So you can't be like I was, steal and never confess to my dad. I probably to this day, now he probably knows. He probably knew. But I never went to him and said, Dad, hey, I'm sorry I took money out of your coin. I never repented. Never told him. So what happens when we sin, we have to confess to God. Say, Lord, I sinned, I failed, the temptation became too, the pressure was tough, and I failed. Please forgive me and re-strengthen me so that I don't have that problem again. Now, the problem is going to come back. Amen? Right? The temptation is coming back. So for those of us that have been delivered from whatever it is, the temptation is coming back to see how serious you are. And if you fall, you have to get back up. The proverb says, a righteous man, what? Falls seven times, but he gets back up. Huh? He said the righteous fall seven times. So that means you get back up every time. And then there comes a time where the Holy Spirit, when you cry out to him, strengthens you so that you now have the power to resist and to overcome temptation. And see, temptation is the thing that the enemy uses to keep you to not to believe that you've been renewed and that you're free. Amen? And we have to know that we're renewed and know that we're free. And once you know it, then you will act it out. You with me on that? How many remember, how many did plays or memorized speeches when you were in school? Any of you guys? Everybody? Everybody had to do an oral report, right? Now see, some of us who are just terrified, we memorized our oral report. Remember that? Remember those days? I said, they better not ask me no questions. I've memorized my little cards. Not going to put my head up. I'm just going to go through it. Any questions? Thank you. Bye. But then after you did it, and if it's something jogs it, all of a sudden it just kind of comes out. For a while, you know, now that you're older, sometimes those floaters get in the way. But if because you knew it, it came out. Amen? See, when you know you're free, when you know you're renewed, it comes out. When you're faced with a temptation, the temptation has no power because I'm free from that. I don't have to go back there anymore. I don't live there anymore. I'm not residing in that place. I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm no longer bound by the old ways. Amen? This is why the church exists. To bring people to Christ, but to bring people to a knowledge that they are free in Christ Jesus. Free. Everybody say free.
Free,
free is not as the scripture says, and then he defines liberty for us. He says, so now that you are free, don't use your freedom for the wrong reasons. Or as the scripture says, for an occasion to go back into sin. Because now some of them are, some folks are preaching that. You're free in Christ, so you could do whatever you want to do because you're free. No. You're free so that you don't have to do what you want to do. You do what he wants you to do. And that's the freedom. Because let me tell you something. If you do that, go back to doing what you used to do, guess what happens? You're no longer free. You become a slave all over again. A slave to sin. The scripture says, don't you know that he who serves sin is the slave of sin? You know that? That's Romans, right? And none of us like that word slave, right? I know black folks were slaves, but there were actually other people in America that were slaves. Did you know that? They tried to enslave the Indians, but the Indians wouldn't have any of it. They would not have it. But actually, Indians actually did enslave some black people. Did you know that? But the black folks looked so good, they just started marrying them. So it just intermingled with them. I was reading that. I was like, Lord Jesus, help us. So, but we all understand what slavery means. Slavery means you belong to another. And they are the master of your fate. Whatever they say, you have to do. That's what it means. When sin calls, you have to answer when you're the slave of sin. But when you've been born again, when you're renewed and set free, when sin calls, he's got the wrong number. I don't answer to that slave master anymore. Matter of fact, you say, Jesus, can you get that? I think he's calling the wrong person. So he needs to talk to my new master. And that's Jesus. Amen? Amen. So that's what we talked about last week. So this week, we want to look at what are the other things the church is a place for. The church is supposed to be a place of unity. Everybody say unity. Unity. Now, you look around the denominational world and you think that the church is not united. Right? Sometimes you look at, you know, there's the Baptists, there's the Methodists, there's the Presbyterians, there's the Episcopalians, there's the Anglicans, there's the, help me out. There's so many denominations you lose track. There's a Southern Baptist. There's the non-Southern Baptist. There's the Church of God in Christ, Apostolic, you name it, the list. I tried to go through all of them. I pulled up so many. I was like, my Lord, is there that many denominations in the world? The Covenant, which I was a part of at the other church. Well, I wasn't a part of it. That church was. But anyway. So you might say, he's still reading them off. And you might say there's no unity. But hold on, let's look at what Jesus said about unity. Let's go to John 17, 20 through 23. John, the Gospel of John. And as we go there, we pray. Father, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts as we go through your word. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So John 17, 20 through 23 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me, I've loved them as you have loved me. Now, let me clarify. Unity does not necessarily mean that denominations have gotten together and now agreed to work together. Unity has to do with the people of the church. And we have to be united and understand that if you have accepted Christ, Christ lives in you, and Christ lives in me, then we are united in Christ. So then from that unity comes agreement on those points of unity. Well, what's the point? Well, Jesus is my Savior. All right? Most churches believe that. Am I right? Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus was virgin born. Jesus died, and 3 days he was raised from the dead. Jesus died for my sin. Jesus is the only sinless human being to walk the face of the earth. These are points that all denominations believe. Amen? We believe in that God has manifested himself in three forms, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when you get to the what's called the cults, and I'm not talking about the occult, because you guys know what the difference between a cult and an occult is? A cult is a group that claims to be Christian, but they don't hold to the things that I just talked about Jesus. An occult has to do with people that practice witchcraft, demonology, Satan worship, all that kind of stuff. That's an occult. But a cult is a group that does not believe that Jesus was born of virgins like that. That would be a cult. Or that they don't believe that Jesus lived a sinless life. Or they don't believe that Jesus bodily, you know what I mean by bodily? Physically rose from the dead. There are some churches that teach that Jesus only appeared as a risen person. But that's not what the scriptures say, is it? What did the Bible say about Jesus? He rose from the dead. He walked. He had Thomas touch him. That's one thing. So that's physical. He sat down and he what? He ate. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a ghost, and most of us don't want to, but a ghost is nothing more than an evil spirit manifested in the natural. Let me just put it out there. There is no such thing as your people coming back. Okay? You didn't see Aunt Georgia. That was the demonic force that's take on Aunt Georgia's appearance to deceive you into believing that you can talk to Aunt Georgia, who died 50 years ago. Are you with me here? So that's the occult. And so they're trying to make Christianity an occult, and by saying that Jesus did not physically rise from the dead. But they handled him. John talked about, we touched him. We handled him. We ate with him. We saw him. He blessed us. He blew on us. So there was a physical manifestation of Jesus' resurrected body. It was not just, oh man, we saw this scary image and we all saw it. You know, they teach these kinds of things. Those are cult groups. And people that don't believe that Jesus died for their sins, that's a cult. Or they believe that they can become God. Huh? You ain't gonna become nobody's God. You know, there's some groups that teach that we will become God and we will be the God of the planets out in the universe. Did you know that? So you're gonna get your own planet to be God on. Oh Lord, help that planet. That planet is gonna end up like Earth. Because that's all you know. See, but that's a cult. They use the same words, but they don't believe the same things. And so they're not in unity with the body of Christ. But if you hold to the truths of Scripture, then we should not have division amongst the church. That's why, you know, Jane asked me this a while ago, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. She said, Pastor, is it okay for me to... Somebody asked me if it was okay, and I should ask you if I should listen to other ministers. I said, listen, I'm not the master of you. You can listen to anybody you want. What do you, does it think I'm got all the word? I wish... No, I don't even wish that. Because there's more truth than that comes across this pulpit. Truth is in the body. Now, you have to discern. You guys know what discern means. You have to identify truth because everything is not truth. So my only thing is absolutely listen to whomever you want, but discern what truth is. And, there's some folks I just can't listen to. Not because they don't preach truth. I just don't like the way they present it. That's me. I was reading a book the other day, and it was just something was weird about the book. They were saying the right things, and I said, Lord, something, I can't even remember the name of it, and that's good, because then you don't want to. So I Googled the author, and I found out he was not a Christian. I mean, he used Christian words, but he was considered a New Ager. So I threw the book away. I threw it away. I was going to burn it, but I said, I just put it in the recycle bin so nobody else could get it. But we have to, the Holy Spirit in us gives us the ability to discern truth. But we cannot become so stubborn about what we believe that we won't hear others that believe like we believe. Are you with me here? The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's what? Wisdom or safety? Safety, meaning if you think you have a word from God, you need to talk to somebody about that word from God. You might say, well, I can hear God just like you can. Absolutely you can. And you can miss God just like I can. So we are built into, that's what keeps us united, keeping each other in line. That's what the church is supposed to be for. That's why it's not good. Everybody say, not good for Christians to be sitting at home not going to church. Because they get all sorts of strange doctrine staying at home, just watching TV. And I used to only watch TBN back then. That's all I watched for like 5 years. I didn't watch sports, I didn't watch nothing but TBN. But I also went to church, I always went to church. And I understand that some things that are preached across some pulpits may not necessarily be truth, but I mean not true, but it just something's not sitting right. For instance, when there's things that the Bible is quiet on, you ought not to develop a doctrine about it. Now, I'll give you an example. There's a lot of talk about a pre-Adamic world. How many have ever heard that? The world that existed before Adam and Eve were created. The Bible don't say nothing about that. All it says, and the earth was dark and void. And people have come up with a doctrine about, and you can pull, like I tell you, you can pull sources from Hebrew writings that talk about it, but the scriptures don't talk about it. So I'm not going to sit up here and preach a message on the pre-Adamic world when the scripture is silent on the pre-Adamic world. You follow me? And see, if I preach stuff that I don't see scripture for, there's a chance I could be deceived. And it can't really be checked because there's no other source. I can, well, that scripture doesn't say that. That's just, there is no scripture on it. So you don't create doctrines about things that the scriptures are silent about. Are you with me here? And that keeps you in unity with the church, but it also keeps you out of deception. The enemy is still the great deceiver. Amen? The world is still deceived. For people to believe, and I know this sounds like I'm against science, but for the world to believe that men came from monkey takes more faith than to believe that God just said, let there be, and there was. I mean, come on, man, there's monkeys running around. How come they didn't evolve? You ever ask that question? Ask the next time the anthropologist starts talking about that, how come that group missed the evolution train? why don't we have half men, half monkey evolving still? Because it's nonsense. I mean, they have tried, trust me, they have tried to prove this thing. They have taken monkeys and they have tried to breed them with people. Yes, they have done it, and it doesn't work. They can't even breed a lion and a tiger. They can breed them, but they won't have any more children after they breed them. They become unable to reproduce. Why? Because God made this animal after its kind. And he wants the kinds to perpetuate, not the kinds you want. It's like 2 miles is good for me, but there's some that want to go six. And that's the way the church is. Some people want to run further in the things of God. As long as it's scriptural, you're fine. But don't disfellowship people because you don't want to go 6 miles and you only want to go two. You know what I mean by disfellowship? That's an old word for excommunicate or have nothing to do with. We should stop having nothing to do with folk all the time that are in the church. Amen? We have to love. We got to love in the church before we can learn to love out of the church. That's why we still deal with prejudice in the church, because we haven't got the revelation truth that everybody that is born again is a new creation in Christ. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what race you came from. It doesn't matter what your background was. It didn't matter even if your ancestors ate ant people. You are a new creation in Christ. You're not that person anymore. Human flesh does not taste good to you anymore. You might say, oh, don't say that, Pastor. That's nasty. Yeah, it is nasty, but it happened. You go back far enough in our family trees, it's out. It's in there. Because that's what sin does. It knows no boundaries. It won't ever stop. And that's what we see today. Sin won't stop. Sin keeps getting stronger and stronger and wanting more and wanting more. It's never satisfied. But the church is the only one to stand and say, enough, stop, that's not right. You're just a bigot. You just don't want us to have our fun. You're just always trying to mess up everything. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm just the messenger. But the church is a place of unity. Unity, we have to be united with the body of Christ. Because as we unite, Jesus said his glory would be manifested in the church. What does that mean? What does it mean to have God's glory manifested? What is it? What's the glory of God mean? Anybody ever looked that up? Whenever the glory of God showed up, it was his presence. In the Old Testament, it said when the glory filled the temple, they couldn't even worship. They couldn't come into the temple because his glory was so real, tangible. They could touch it. He just showed up. And how many want God to show up in our lives? That's what he said, if we would be united. The church is supposed to be a place of unity. But you can't be united if we don't believe the same things. There's churches now that say, well, we don't believe the whole Bible. Churches, I said, that say we don't believe the whole Bible. There's preachers that say they don't want the whole Bible. And so without the scriptures, there is no basis for unity. You see that? Because the scripture unites us. And if you reject it, there's no basis of unity. Now, that's not grounds for hating. That's not grounds for stoning anymore. That's not grounds for excommunication. Well, it could be grounds for excommunication. Excommunication means you remove somebody from a position. But it's still not grounds to hate them. Amen? You can still love people that don't believe what you believe. But that takes Jesus in you to change your heart. Because, see, we're so dogmatic. You guys know what that means? Always want to give your opinion about something. And hopefully it's the word, but you're just so definitive, and you can be definitive and still love people. You know what definitive means, right? Definite. That's definitive is the same root for definite. I'm definite about Jesus being my Savior. And if you don't believe Jesus is your Savior, I can still love you because you don't believe, even if you don't believe. I don't have to hate you. I don't have to call fire down from heaven to burn you up because you're just a sinner going to hell anyway, and I want to see it go right now. No, that's not what Jesus told that to John and James. They tried to burn the folks up. Say, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven because they don't want us to preach you over there? He said, no, man, come on now. Those days are over. We don't do that. We pray that they would get it. Like somebody prayed that we would get it. Because, I mean, how many folk came to you and you talked to you about Christ? They said, I don't want to hear that stuff. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I go to church, man. Don't you see my cross? My cross. I know Jesus. Come on, don't come on. No, you don't know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. And I didn't want to receive him at that point. But somebody stayed with me until I got it. See that? Stayed with me till I got it. And that's what we have to do. Stay with people till they get it. No, people that are living in sin don't want to hear the gospel. Huh? Everybody knows that? People that you got it, if you had to go, look, man, if you don't stop doing this, you're going to hell. Nobody wants to hear that. So come at it in a different way. You know, that lifestyle is probably not the best thing for you. But what do you mean? There's another way. What is that way? Jesus. Well, if they say, well, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. Okay. But come back and try it again. And unless they kill you, you still got another chance. I'm joking. But, you know, we know it does happen. Huh? Go to jail for preaching the gospel. But unity. The church has to be united. United in the truth that we hold to. And we have to love people. We have to love each other first before we can love other people. Amen? All right, I thought I was going to go through this whole mess, and I ain't got but one point. But, so anyway, I'm going to close. So I want to do, what I want to do is open up, if anybody needs prayer, we want to pray for you. Just believe that God is doing great things, and just if you need God to touch your body, touch your heart, touch your mind, carrying a load that you all have no business carrying, the Bible says that.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.